You are Locked On Sooners, your daily Oklahoma Sooners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
From the place we call the G Family Performance Center, welcome to another episode of the Locked On Sooners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. The easiest way to listen to this podcast or any of our podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network is in your car. Just ask your smart device to play the Locked On Sooners podcast. You can also subscribe on Apple iTunes. Coming up on this show today, I apparently brain farted on a couple of things. I'll tell you what those are. One right out of the gate, and then one coming up about 10 minutes from now. But we're going to talk about all the significant injuries, or the majority of the significant injuries that are plaguing OU going into this spring. And there's one that rings loud and clear. And even though Lincoln Riley made a very solid point why it may not be a bad thing that this guy isn't playing in spring, I'll tell you why I still have some concerns about that. We'll also talk about Robert Barnes being out, A.D. Miller coming back, and sort of how I look at the receiver situation at OU. Lincoln Riley saying there's no depth today. Well, it seems like he's recruited some depth, and we've seen freshmen be able to come in and contribute right away at OU, so I'm not real sure how concerned I am about it. Maybe you feel a little bit different. Plus, the quarterback might be a position that's a little bit more competition than what we originally thought based on some things that I'm reading. Then we'll talk about Nick Bosa, not Joey Bosa, whom I referred to him as the last couple of podcasts. But really, all this goes back to the Charlie Casserly situation. What he said about Kyler Murray, what Lincoln Riley had to say about that situation today. And I'll talk about it from a media coverage standpoint and give you a little insight on ultimately what Charlie Casserly is doing. It's one of the oldest tricks in the book. I'll explain it coming up here in just a few minutes. And then finally, we'll close things out today because it certainly looks like that OU basketball team is peaking at the right time. And if we have time, we'll squeeze a little bit in on Pro Day. And if we don't, we will certainly talk about that in tomorrow's show. My name's Eric G. I work for 1340 The Game in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. I'm a credentialed member of the media. I run a website called Sooner Maven. Go to collegesportsmaven.io. That's collegesportsmaven.io/Oklahoma and visit today. Okay, first and foremost, let's get the brain fart out of the way. Because almost a couple of months ago, actually it was last month, it was on February 7th. I had to go back and look at this. 24/7 did put out that Robert Barnes was going to be out the entire spring because he was having hamstring issues and he was going to have to nurse them. Thus, he was not going to be able to practice at safety. And I'm like, oh man, I cannot wait to see Robert Barnes coming up this spring. He's going to have a breakout year for OU. And look, I still stand by the opinion that Robert Barnes is going to be very important for this team this year, especially as you look at all the juggling going on with the defensive backs. And the thing I do like about the defensive back situation is there are guys that can play multiple positions that are talented enough to move between corner and safety. And right now, if you're Alex Grinch, you're looking for not only your smartest players, but really your most athletic, versatile players that are going to be able to adapt in this defense that you're talking about. And one of the key components of this defense is speed. And we know that Robert Barnes certainly has that based on what we saw from him during the latter part of the year when he started to get his playing time. He's a guy that shows that he can make plays. He's a guy that's big and physical. That being said, I forgot that he had the hamstring, and he's not going to be in there this spring. So, unfortunately, he's not going to have a breakout spring. So, I apologize for that. Even if it's no big deal and you forget it, you know, months from now, I won't. That's the kind of thing that pisses me off and just drives me crazy to no end. But I do want to apologize for that. But one of the many injuries that OU is facing, and he is one of the many guys that's going to be out this spring. The biggest guy, probably literally and figuratively, would be Creed Humphreys, OU starting center, who is not going to be able to participate at all during spring. And the reason this one bothers me so much is because he is the quarterback of that offensive line. And when you're playing with four new guys. Four guys who don't have near as much game experience. You need somebody to make sure that they get in the right places. You need that unquestioned leader that all these guys can look to. I mean, that whole idea of him being a quarterback, that's exactly what he is. He is the second quarterback on the field who not only makes sure everybody is in the right position, but knows the position so well that if somebody's doing something wrong, he can tell them about it. Now, on the bright side, what Lincoln Riley and Bill Beedenbo have discussed and what Lincoln Riley said today during his press conference is that with Creed not being there, it's going to give these guys an opportunity to sort of learn on their own, not have the crutch of somebody experienced. They're going to go out, they're going to make a ton of mistakes, which is, hey, it's good for the confidence of the defense. I mean, you want to talk about something that's good there real quick? It's good for the confidence of the defensive linemen because they may actually have some success against the offensive line during this spring just because Creed Humphrey's not there and everybody's still trying to learn new positions and where to line up. The bad thing is if somebody comes along and Eric Swenson is listed as the guy second on the depth chart, at least that's what 24/7 had. Another guy you might look for in that position is Tyrese Robinson. But if you get a guy that establishes himself as the center for the spring, and all of a sudden you get these guys used to working with him, now all of a sudden Creed Humphrey comes along and it's a bit of an adjustment. And whether it's over the summer or whether it's during training camp, what I worry about is how long it takes you to adjust when you've gotten used to playing alongside someone else and somebody else doing something their way. So if you are Lincoln Riley, you want to make sure as much as possible that Creed Humphrey is involved in this spring and he's that other coach that's out there on the field helping guys. And whoever that center is, whoever is replacing him, Creed Humphrey needs to be very instrumental in teaching him exactly how to do things the way that he would do them, so that transition is as seamless as it possibly can get once Creed Humphrey has the opportunity to come back and play for OU. Those are kind of the things that concern me going on this spring. I love the fact that A.D. Miller is coming back to the team, but for no other reason, you just get a little depth back in that receiving core. But you're also bringing in guys like Trajan Bridges. You're bringing in Theo East, guys that have been highly recruited and are part of this latest New Wave 19 class, which was a top 10 class, a top 6 class, according to 24/7 Sports. Again, thank you for all my prep today. But it's there. I mean, and then we could see if Drake Stoops can make any leaps this spring. Wow, and you got Grant Calcaterra coming back. Charleston Rambo's a guy that certainly could prove his worth and did towards the end of the season last year that can give you some help at receiver, and Carson Meyer. So I'm not exactly, it's one of those things is I'm rattling off all these names here. I see so much talent in this receiving core that, I mean, Lincoln Riley, I understand that maybe you can't afford to really have too many nicks and bruises throughout the rest of the year, but still, you've given Jalen Hurts enough targets. And speaking of Jalen Hurts, if you believe things that you're reading on the internet, then you're looking at Tanner Mordecai giving Jalen Hurts a hell of a battle this spring for quarterback, and it's not completely locked up that he is the guy that's going to take that job. However, no matter how good Tanner Mordecai is, he's not going to start for OU. But the one good thing that Tanner Mordecai can do over the spring is push Jalen Hurts to get better, push him and be a very close competition just because it'll force Jalen Hurts to learn the offense that much better. So by the time that the fall rolls around, because Tanner Mordecai may have even threatened him with taking his job, you might see Jalen Hurts improve a lot quicker. And I don't have any doubt that it would take Tanner Mordecai to do it. Jalen Hurts seems like a pretty self-motivated kid. So I don't see where that's going to be that much of an issue. And tomorrow I want to go into more depth about the whole A.D. Miller thing. But 52,000 showed up to last year's spring game. Lincoln Riley mentioning that it's going to be a huge recruiting weekend. He wants more than 52,000. They've put more entertainment value into the spring game. We'll have more on that coming up a little bit later. We'll do that in tomorrow's podcast as that information becomes available. But here's what I would tell you. 52,000 is great, but you need to get as close to the 89,000 as you can get, or the 88, whatever Gaylord Family Memorial Stadium seats. And the reason I say that is because it's all about recruiting. And 11 of the kids that came in over spring last year ended up being a part of this current class that signed. 11. Okay? You can jack that number up to, say, 15. I'll just throw a number against the wall. 15. If you go from 52,000 to start getting around 60, 72,000. Okay, you get that, you get those, you get more commitments, but more importantly, this is when you really start to rival a school like Alabama, who is going to sell out their spring game and get 90,000 plus in. You want to be on that level that Alabama is. And OU is just right now, it's nothing bad, but it's a notch below where Bama is. Then fans have got to be a big part of that. Fans here have no issue taking ownership of the program, but they've got to take it to that next level. There's that OU fanaticism, and then there's the Bama fanaticism, and the Bama fanaticism is about one step ahead of OU's. And once OU fans start getting there, and I'm not necessarily going to say it's going to guarantee Lincoln Riley that he'll win five championships as coach at OU, but recruits cannot help but be taken in by that atmosphere and the embrace and everything that goes along with it. So anytime you think you're not a part of this, you're most definitely a part of it, whether it's on social media, whether it's showing up, whether it's doing chants for recruits when they're there. I mean, it all comes into play. And a lot of people like me, sometimes we think that that's goofy that you would chant for that kid. But if he turns out to be the next Adrian Peterson, or the next Baker Mayfield, then damn goofy, go ahead and do whatever you've got to do to bring him in and make your program better. This is the Locked On Sooners podcast. I am Eric G. Coming up next, what Charlie Casserly was actually trying to accomplish with the information that he threw out yesterday. Thanks for listening to the Locked On Sooners podcast. I'm Eric G. Remember to listen in your car. All you got to do is ask your smart device to play us, and it will. Just say Siri or whatever smart device you're using, play the Locked On Sooners podcast, and then it'll pull up right there, and you can subscribe on Apple iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify. But most of these get done in 30 minutes or less, so we can get you to work, we can get you from work, or we can be your friend at work, and I'll try not to yell too much when I get passionate, because if you're listening at work, I always think the last thing you want to hear is some dude yelling. I don't know. Maybe you do. And I yell a lot, so I try and talk calm, but then for some reason, it never works out. I was told that by a PD once. It's like, man, they don't want to hear guys yelling, man. They want everybody, you know, they want you to be able to talk and converse with them. And I try, but I'm just, especially when it gets to OU football, I get real excited. So first of all, I want to apologize to Nick Bosa for calling him Joey Bosa in the last two podcasts. And I'll tell you why I did that. Not because I don't know the difference between the two and that there's two Bosas playing, one in the NFL, which would be Joey playing for the Chargers, and then Nick, who's coming out of Ohio State. It's because my son is named Nick. So I always assume that the older brother is named Nick and the younger brother would not be named Nick. So I really, honestly, you can't blame me. You've got to blame the Bosa parents. And if somebody tells me that Nick Jonas is not the oldest Jonas brother, then you got to blame their parents as well, because that's how I roll. No, truthfully, it was just a brain fart. And I remember going through that monologue and it's like, wait a second, is it Joey? Is it Nick? Nick, Joe? Oh, you know what? And I just went Joey. We know if Joey Bosa was there, the Cardinals would take him first. But here's what I want to say that what I think Charlie Casserly is trying to accomplish. And Lincoln Riley pointed out that Charlie Casserly has not talked to anybody at OU that knows Kyler Murray. He's essentially talking to one source, and the source gave him information about Kyler Murray's interview, and Charlie Casserly went and reported that. First of all, Charlie Casserly's not a journalist. If Charlie Casserly was a journalist, I would say that that is bad journalism. Because rule of thumb, as a journalist, at least what I was taught in journalism school, is that when you're doing a story like that, you get balance. You get one person that is on one side of the room, you get another that is completely opposite of that, and you just give the balanced report that is there, no opinion. That's not the way things are done today. Plus, let's remember, Charlie Casserly, not a journalist. He's an ex-GM. And ultimately, what Casserly was trying to accomplish yesterday in saying what he did about Kyler Murray is he was doing a favor for a friend, either a GM that he likes or maybe a guy that could be a potential employer down the road, although I don't see that really being the issue for Charlie Casserly. I think he was just doing a favor for a friend, but you also have to remember, so in doing that favor, he gave you this information about Kyler Murray that said he didn't check certain boxes in his interview. Well, Lincoln Riley doing the right thing came to Kyler Murray's defense. What I did not say on yesterday's podcast, and I should have gone there yesterday, but I didn't, so I'm going to go there today. So this is where I'm kind of my own co-host here, keeping myself in check. What if the team sending up the signals, sending up the smoke signals or the smoke screens is the Arizona Cardinals? Because Todd McShay today on ESPN said that Kyler Murray seemed to be the consensus number one pick, but he feels like he's being sold swampland in Arizona for this or swampland in Florida. Like there's just something about it that's not real. And why it makes so much sense for the Cardinals to put out this information is simply this. If you've got a fan base that is in love with Kyler Murray and they are ready to buy tickets and they've bought into this guy because you have to. When you watch him play, you know he's going to be a difference maker. He's the Ferrari, okay? Nick Bosa's nice. He's the Cadillac Escalade. But if you've got a chance to buy the Cadillac Escalade or the Ferrari and you've got the money to buy both, well, what are you going to buy? You're going to buy the Ferrari. It's not practical. It only seats two. But it's a freaking Ferrari, man. And a Cadillac Escalade, while it's nice and is a great status symbol, and while it may help you pick up certain chicks, it's not like rolling up to the club in the Ferrari. So what you do if you, and I'm saying all that to tell you this. If you are, in fact, the Arizona Cardinals, and you really believe that Nick Bosa is the number one pick, and he is the guy that's going to help you in the long run, and you have talked with Cliff Kingsbury, and he's convinced that, hey, we'll give Josh Rosen a year on this. You just drafted him. Let's see if he pans out. If he doesn't work, there are other quarterbacks you can go get into the system. It's risk either way involved in this. But if you want Nick Bosa, what you do is you send up some smoke screens about Kyler, so maybe there are some fans that are, okay, so now all of a sudden they cool on him a little bit. So when you pick Nick Bosa, which is a safe pick because he's an edge rusher, and you let Kyler Murray fall down the draft board, you then sort of, you've got the justification for it, and you could say, hey, and you come back after that, well, He didn't interview well. There were certain things we didn't like, and we just felt like Bosa was the guy to go with. And here's another reason why you go with Bosa over Kyler. The Cardinals are not going to fail and succeed with Joey Bosa. They're not going to succeed because of him. They're not going to fail because of him. Now, he may be a difference maker, but ultimately in the NFL, you fail or succeed because of quarterbacks. So you let Kyler Murray go. You get Nick Bosa. And if the Cardinals aren't successful, even though Nick Bosa may be good, Nick Bosa could be tearing it up for you. But if you don't have a good quarterback and the offense isn't good in that league and he's the only guy on your team doing anything, then what do you do with him? And we saw it this year with the Oakland Raiders and Khalil Mack, all the bounty they got from the Chicago Bears for trading Khalil Mack to Chicago because he's an edge rusher. And probably the second most valued position in the NFL, second or third behind quarterback and behind blindside tackle, then you trade him. you flip him and you can get multiple picks for him. So it's a sound investment. But if you draft Kyler Murray and you fail with Kyler Murray, he won't bring you anything. And as we are seeing with Josh Rosen may only get you a second pick. So I understand why there's so much of this stuff going on. It's because there's so many jobs on the line, and the last thing you want to do is make the ultimate stake and tie yourself down to somebody because they look spectacular now, but you're not 100% convinced that they're the guy you need. And the guy you need just may not be as popular with the fans and may not even be as popular with the owner. And sometimes you've got to do stuff if you're the GM to fool the owner, because you should know football a hell of a lot better than they do. This is the Locked On Sooners podcast. I'm Eric G. Coming up next, why it looks like the OU men are peaking at the right time. Remember to tell your smart device to play the Locked On Sooners podcast. All you have to do is say, hey, smart device, play Locked On Sooners podcast. And then it'll play in your car, and we'll get you to work. We'll get you home. We'll keep you company when you're... I always say listen to your car to work from work, but I'll give you a good time to listen to this podcast. And it's a little unorthodox, but if your kid plays soccer, or your kid plays some sort of sport that's... he just plays any sport, and you have to go to a practice and attend, which is odd because parents used to never do that. My parents always drop me off. They come back an hour and a half, whatever, and pick me up. I find myself going to a lot of my kids' practices. You can listen then. You can listen then so you don't have to worry about what's going on with the kid and the coach. And, it'll keep your kid out of trouble. It'll keep you out of trouble. That's what we do. We bring families together. It's the Locked On Sooners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. The OU men may, in fact, be peaking at the right time. Now, it should be noted, part of their last two performances against West Virginia and Kansas, OU men, seven three-pointers last night in the first half alone. They only made nine for the game, but seven of those came in the first half. In the last two games, they have taken advantage of a poor Kansas team as far as defending the three and a poor West Virginia team. So let's not get sold on that. The thing that I do love about this team and a couple of things that they're doing. One, Christian Doolittle is going into full-on beast mode. It has become very apparent that if Christian Doolittle wants to get into the paint and finish at the rim, then he's going to, and there are very few people in college basketball that can stop him. So dear Lord, please don't let OU meet up with Duke. He wants to get to the rim. It's just that's going to happen. And if he can do what he did last night, not only get to the rim, but when he didn't finish, he got fouled and he went to the free throw line and ended up going 10 of 11 from the free throw line, which is not something you have seen him or anybody else at OU do this year. So as the three-point shooting the last couple of games is starting to come around, the free throw shooting is starting to come around. And I was talking with Joe Castiglione last night. And basketball, it's such a simple game. There are complexities to it, but what makes basketball so simple more than anything else is how quickly your confidence comes when you're making shots. OU was incredible last night, at one point shooting over 60% from the field. And you saw that when OU was shooting that well, not only were they scoring and able to build this lead, never trailed in that game where Kansas couldn't make their run, but the defense was much better. They were very active in that zone. And give Lon Kruger credit for implementing the zone this year and finding some place for Matt Freeman to actually play and use that length of his to cut off passing lanes when the ball was thrown in the middle in the paint. He deflected a few. OU was able to cause a lot of steals last night, get the fast breaks going. So it was sinking the shots, was bringing them to play harder on defense, and was just building their confidence as the game went on. And that is the first game all year long, save for maybe Vanderbilt and USC, where I didn't think OU got comfortable at any point during that game. They were still aggressive. Now, ripping that Big 12 title away from Kansas certainly did matter a lot to that team, and especially those seniors who have been through a Final Four, a sub-500 record, the disaster that was Trae Young, and this year, a five-game losing streak in confidence, those guys have earned something good this year. And if they, and if last night's win over Kansas, who's 16th in the net, does not get OU into the NCAA tournament, it pretty much comes close. I like the way Lon Kruger's approaching this. If you haven't heard what Bill Self had to say, go to Sooner Maven, collegesportsmaven.io/Oklahoma. You can see the entire Bill Self interview there. You can see what he said about OU being an NCAA tournament team. I cannot repeat it here. But Lon Kruger's still approaching this game in Manhattan as a must-win situation. He's not taking anything for granted, even though he should be able to take it for granted that they're in the NCAA tournament. But remember, he's not taking this, you know, he's making it a must-win situation, but you have to remember, OU has not won in Manhattan since Lon Kruger first took over at OU, and that was all the way back in 2012. And I swear, coming up in the next podcast, we will talk about that 10,000 that showed up at the gymnastics meet with UCLA. And last night, not a bad crowd on hand at all. That was one of the most active crowds. Everything about it was great. A lot of Kansas fans, though. Still a lot of Kansas fans. Too many for my taste coming to that game. They didn't take over the LNC the way that we've seen them in the past, but there's still too many of them. And it's time that OU fans took ownership of basketball so that thing doesn't happen. That bothers me. I don't know why, it just bothers the hell out of me. But I give the Kansas fans that were there a lot of credit, because the majority of them stayed till the bitter end after watching their team have their 14-year streak of being either shared or just outright Big 12 champion. This is the Locked On Sooners podcast. I'm Eric G. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. And until tomorrow, may God bless you and your family. Everybody love everybody, and peace, love, and Boomer Sooner.
You are Locked On Sooners, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or tell Alexa or Google to play podcast Locked On. Don't worry, I won't finish. You get the idea.